T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Lieutenant Colonel Sarjay Sangari, who actually did know who Qasem Soleimani was prior to yesterday. Is that accurate, Lieutenant Colonel, that you actually knew who Soleimani was prior to this?
Well, I mean, I wasn't a personal friend of him, but I mean, we wrote an article about who he was going back to June 4, 2016, because we knew he was going to be a major player within the region.
So help us understand then the impact of this event for those in Iran and those in Iraq. How big of a deal on a scale of 1 to 10 is this for them, and how does it change their perception of America?
It depends, because it's pretty much of a 10 when it comes to how it's going to alleviate our ability to negotiate a new agreement with Iran. And I think we knew that Iran was at an impasse with this process. Even the former Mr. Zarif, going back to May of 2019, put in his resignation because he was tired of what Soleimani was doing within the region. And his main argument was, look, the man is traveling everywhere. He's making deals that I don't know anything about. He's moving, you know, force structures around. Imagine if the Department of State had no clue what a general officer in the U.S. military was doing at any given time. And this was because of the pressures we had applied against Iran through the sanctions. Now, the Ayatollah Khamenei rejected Zarif's resignation letter, said, no, you need to stay in. We'll resolve this internally. And if you notice what the language is coming out from the Iranian leadership after Soleimani's death, none of them have said that Iran is going to utilize any possible government apparatus to be able to take vengeance against what has happened against Soleimani. The only thing they have said is that it's going to strengthen the root of the resistance amongst the people. So you're not going to see the state coming out to defend Soleimani. Soleimani was killed in Baghdad, and he was in an area where he shouldn't have been, given this critical time. And he was there to disrupt what the Iranian government was trying to do, which, under the pressure that they are today, try to get with a safe facing measure to be able to negotiate with the current administration on a possible intermediate deal before a longer deal in the future.
So you're saying Soleimani did not have the support of the Ayatollah to be in Baghdad at that time? While he's certainly part of the regime, he wasn't necessarily in good graces throughout?
Well, I would say it would be a pretty good guess that at least he didn't have the support of Zarif. Now, as far as the Ayatollah is concerned, he was working for the Ayatollah. However, this is the first time that the National Security Committee is holding a special session in Iran, and it's the first time known that we know of that Ayatollah Khamenei is actually attending that committee meeting. So it means that even Khamenei himself was a little bit suspicious as to what Iranians, I guess I should say, were trying to do within the region, especially when it came to Soleimani himself.
We're talking with Lieutenant Colonel Sarjay Sangari. Lieutenant Colonel, make sense of this for me. Everything that's going on in Iraq, there seems to be so many different groups and factions and the government itself. Do we trust the government as American citizens? Do we not? Who are they working with? And I hear that this Saturday, so tomorrow, there's going to be a parliamentary vote in Iraq on whether or not to expel U.S. troops from Iraq. Yet, at the same time, we're drawing up troops from Kuwait to go to Iraq. Make sense of what's going on. Is this something that we're going to abide by if they do vote to have us leave the country?
Well, the problem with it for the Iraqi government is they're all corrupt. They're inept at best, but corrupt, at most.
Yeah.
Every one of them is on a dollar from the Iranian government. Unfortunately, I hate to say it, but a lot of our foreign companies or American companies have them on payrolls too. If you want to see where the Iraqi government dollars are ending up, that their politicians are corrupt, go drive around Maryland and I can point out most of their houses to you. The issue here is that Hezbollah just came out, that is in Iraq itself, to include Al-Hashi Shabi, whose second in command was killed, and stated that if any parliamentary leader in this vote votes against U.S. withdrawal, then we're going to expose their name and we're going to expose their addresses and we'll let the people take vengeance against them. Now, if you're an MP sitting in Iraq, what is your vote going to be probably? Is it going to be with the possibility of the U.S. coming down there to protect their own assets, or is it going to be that, I'm going to hedge my bets because I don't want to have Hashid Shabi or Hezbollah, kill me and my family members? Currently, as I'm speaking to you, majority of the Europeans and Americans are tied to the oil companies, including majority of the not needed staff at the embassy are flying out from a single location out of Iraq in the south. So as we're emptying out and ensuring that there's no soft targets for anybody to hit, we are going to reinforce our capabilities within the region. I think if the Iraqi government is smart, they'll read between the lines of what Foreign Minister Zarif from Iran and also Khamenei, the leader of Iran, has stated, that they have not made one comment that there's going to be any use of any of the apparatuses for the Iranian government that's going to take any operational vengeance against the U.S. They don't even see it as a war against it with Qasem Soleimani being killed. They are saying that the people are going to rise up and that there's going to be a strong root of resistance against what U.S. has done, but nobody's falling on their knife for Soleimani. Even in Iran, I would recommend that the prime minister and also the members of the parliament in Iran take that as a lead and understand that it would not be beneficial for them, for the U.S. to leave the region.
And Lieutenant Colonel, did you say, when we were just first started talking to you a few minutes ago, that Soleimani's death is actually going to improve our standing or our negotiation with Iran?
It will, because Iran had an internal fight between its moderates and its hardliners. Everybody's pretty much of a hardliner, but Qasem Soleimani was conducting operations that even Zarif himself, who is more likely to use international law to get to an agreement, was not happy about. That's why he was threatening to resign in May of 2019. So this alleviates a lot of pressures internally on the Iranian government when it comes to negotiating possibly a future deal with the U.S., because they're being squeezed right now, guys. And we're squeezing in very hard to the fact that Khamenei himself, for the first time, there's an emergency special meeting with the National Security Committee in Iran, and he's actually attending it. So that's how much it's at stake for them.
What are the likelihood, or maybe if you can stack rank the outcomes here, if not related to the death of Soleimani himself, but where U.S. and the U.S. and Iran go from here? Do you think it's more likely that we wind up with a new detente agreement in place, or is there a serious material and rising risk of armed conflict, even though Iran isn't supposedly preparing for that today?
Well, okay, it's the Middle East. Anything can change in 5 minutes. But the one thing I will tell you is, one thing I could tell you is the fact that it allows us to have a much more focused negotiation with Iran, and it really alleviates a friction point internal to the Iranian government. Is it possible anybody can retaliate? Of course. Is it possible that it might lead to a larger kind of a regional fight? Is very much possible. You could see the next 5 years in this new decade as being a conflict zone. But it all depends on what Russia, China, Iran, Israel, the main key figures within the region decide to do when it comes to security matters and finally settling these conflicts. Because all of us have proxies that are fighting on the ground. And it's, I think, time to move forward. Look, this individual was killed in Baghdad. We had eyes on him ever since he left Lebanon. We could have killed him at any time. Why did we choose to kill him in Baghdad? Because he was there when even the Iranian government, Zarif himself, did not know he was in Baghdad. And Zarif is the one who's trying to lead these negotiations with the U.S.
Lieutenant Colonel Gabe Pfeiffer here. I'm wondering what this portends for America's policy overall when it in regards to the Middle East. It seems that President Trump is looking to obviously keep us out of any major foreign conflicts, but he is he's obviously okay with playing whack-a-mole with their forces whenever various terrorist factions want to attack our not just necessarily our assets but our people. Do you agree with that sort of mentality? Is that a good way to go forward, you think, with our Middle East policy?
No, that's a policy every nation should have for themselves. You kill one of us, we'll kill one of yours. In this case, most nations understand that. For whatever reason, General Soleimani did not understand that. That what might have worked in the past no longer will work in the current climate. And I think this is where sometimes governments make a mistake. They're still trying to fight based off of a previous war. Look, Soleimani was sold out the first time by the Iranian government when the previous POTUS gave money to Iran. There was supposed to be an attack that Soleimani had arranged to kill the Saudi ambassador to the United States in Washington. And 6 days after we had given money to the Iranians, suddenly this so-called process of him trying to target the Saudi leadership came about, and the plot was foiled. But don't be surprised if the Iranian government basically betrayed Soleimani, because they were more interested in a deal than anything else. And with what happened as far as a strike against Soleimani and finally killing him ends a chapter in the negotiations. This is part of a negotiation, folks. We ended up, I hate to say it this way, but we ended up dropping two nuclear bombs in Japan to bring him to the negotiating table. Same thing here. This is a part of our negotiations. If these people, if these actors, time has expired, then you move on. You get to the next level. His replacement has already been chosen. He's hand-chosen by the Ayatollah himself. He's a colonel who has served with Soleimani in the past. I think it might be possible that we might have a better turnout with Colonel Ismail Kahani, who's the next guy on the chopping block.
Lieutenant Colonel Sarjis Sangari, thank you so much for making time for us today. I also see, of course, that you are running for Congress in Illinois, not necessarily down here by us in St. Louis, but up near Chicago. If people want to find you and follow up with you, how do they do that?
They could go to Vote Sangari. I'm the Republican running against Jan Schakowsky, who's been here a 20-year incumbent. And sadly, during the impeachment process, she was standing on stage promoting her son to be her next replacement. It's awful how Washington is working, but I hope that we can send some adults up there. Again, Vote Sangari is my site, and any help financially or support they can give us, much appreciated.
Absolutely. Thanks again for your time today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.